Ladies and gents, welcome back. Episode 46 of the Velocity Podcast. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like we're getting close to the point where we need some sort of podcast ringtone or entrance music. What do you think? Are we nearly there? Should we do that at the Magic 50?
Magic 50, maybe the Magic 100. Yeah, possibly. Do you reckon we should do it? Like we should go in?
Definitely not.
No. Okay. All right. I'll start putting down some ideas. Or if one of the listeners has an idea of what they think our jingle intro should be, then maybe we should do it. I've listened to quite a few podcasts. Like it's obviously a big thing in our culture these days. And it's quite funny when you listen to other people's intros. Some are just like, "Hey, like it's me again." Little sort of 5 to 8 second clip of like a bit of music, and then they're straight in. Some people of like that I've listened to, it's like a trailer for a movie. Like, mate, get to the point. What are you doing?
I'm getting a little bit tired of the Diary of a CEO one, where he just tells every single time, he's like, if you could please subscribe to this, that's all I ask of you. I'm like, I've already done that about a year ago. Like, let's crack on with the content now.
Yeah, that's right. And it's funny, isn't it? Like how podcasting over the last probably year or two, because it's become so big, it's become a proper business thing now. Like at the beginning, it wasn't a business. It was just something that you did to get your name out there and expand your reach. Whereas now you're seeing things like subscriptions and you know, particularly with Diary of a CEO, because it's got so big, it's getting a lot of attention that maybe it doesn't want. And it's now got legs, isn't it?
Which brings me on to my next topic. We've recently been sponsored by Apple.
So if you'd like to subscribe...
Yeah, no, not at all. We're not quite there yet. But, you know, if you do want to sponsor us, just send us a message. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, exactly. So, mate, I think Friday or Saturday night was the big night, wasn't it?
It was. It was the grand reveal, yeah. And it was, do you know what? It really, you know, sometimes you look forward to something and it disappoints.
Yeah, like most Mondays when I think about our meeting.
Yeah, same. It didn't disappoint. So Saturday was the finishing touches to my fireplace, which if you've been following us along, I feel like you've been with me every step of the way, team. Yeah, we added a Samsung frame TV, which is like a 1-inch thick TV that genuinely looks like a picture when it's not on. We added the mantelpiece. We stoked up the fire. We opened a bottle of red and it was a magical evening. So yeah, very, very nice.
Lush. I know it's been a long time in the planning and even a long time in the making because it was quite a complex build. So that was particularly satisfying for you.
Yeah, making a modern house that's only just been built look old and adding a fireplace to it is definitely slightly more complex than I thought. How about you, mate? How was your weekend?
It's such a Craig Wimmer thing to do, though. Like, it's like you get your mind on something and it's like, I'm having it. And I don't care how difficult it's going to be. Like, it will happen. And fair play to you for making it happen because it does look epic.
Thank you, mate.
What have I been up to? The Mother's Day, I was on it on Sunday. So I think that's probably my since we last chatted on here, one of the big things that we did, like I just basically said, like I'm gonna do the day. And I told you, I don't know if I actually spoke to you about the giving of this gift, but I made Natalie, my wife, a video, like a bespoke video of all like videos, pictures of our daughter and her, and little video clips that I'd recorded over the last 2 years. And it was somewhat of like a little, from the moment she was born all the way up to present day, with the Spice Girls song Mama playing in the background, which is kind of like, she loves the Spice Girls, bit of mosh, you know, and it went down really, really well. She loves that kind of stuff. So along with a nice big bouquet of flowers from the local florist, I smashed Mother's Day. It was a good one.
When you say local florist, do you mean the Esso garage down the road?
Yeah, I mean like the garage around the corner. Yeah. Or like next door neighbor's garden. It was a lovely bunch of lilies. It was
yeah, great. Exactly.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of things. As usually, we jump on here and we'll share with you what we've been thinking about in respect of what we've been doing at Velocity to grow it or to teach the coaches in it. Mate, your thing was about lead magnets, wasn't it? We do have quite a lot of chat around what a lead magnet is and what it does and how to make a good one.
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody should have this in mind when they're looking to attract new leads into their world. They're trying to generate some interest, some intrigue into what it is that they do, which regardless of where you're at in your business, you should have, or certainly be trying to create multiple strategies for that. a lead magnet is a brilliant thing to consider and to certainly start thinking about. And how you use it is, you know, there's multiple different ways you can use it, but really a lead magnet is about giving someone a little bit of an insight into your world and trying to figure out what is the one thing in their mind right now that if you could solve it for them for free would add significant value to their lives. And if you can create that and it works, there's two things that you get. The first thing is you get the opportunity to connect with them. You're going to give them something for free in exchange for a conversation in the DMs or the PMs on social media, or in exchange for their email. And that's going to give you the connection piece, which is really important. The second thing that it's going to give you is the opportunity to wow them, the opportunity for them to say, do you know what? This person knows what they're talking about, and this really appeals to me and the situation that I'm in right now. And that just brings you one level closer with that person to being able to talk to them about your program, your paid thing, and what it is that you do and how you can support them. So yeah, I've been thinking about that a little bit more, and you know how we use it to help people know about Velocity, and how we help our coaches to create various different versions of what a lead magnet is to help them attract people into their world.
Because when you've got, I often think about that journey of like using a lead magnet to bring people into your world. And you and I have been thinking about this for Velocity as well as for our coaches recently, that lead magnet is like the gateway into your world. And that world has layers to it. And so if for any personal trainer, let's say, you know, whether you're based at a gym or whether you're a studio, and you know, it doesn't matter where you are, is that there are people that know of you, but don't really have any connection with you. And we teach this through the 6 stage ladder, right? So you have people that know you, then you have people that know and like you because there's been some form of like banter or chat, or they like your content or whatever. And then there's trust, and that means there's an actual there's a series of conversations that have taken place. Like no client, no money's been exchanged, but there's been chat, there's been banter, there's been support and guidance and stuff. And then there's naturally the like the sales piece, and then the onboarding and clients and the best clients. And I found that like what you were saying there is it happens in layers, and the lead magnet is that initial like get them in the world. And then as long as you build, if you choose the right thing to make a lead magnet out of, and then have the right systems that get ignited and get triggered from their downloading and consuming of the thing, then that begins, it's not just their entry in it. It's like, it's the thread that you can pull at that pulls them into the know and like phase, and then into the trust phase, and then eventually into the try phase, where you can invite them in to do something with you in person. Mm-hmm. And that, like for us, when we come to the key questions of, okay, what do I choose, or how do I make it, and where does it live, and how do I distribute it, become really important questions to make the best use out of that system.
Mm, yeah, 100%. I think we classically think of a lead magnet as an ebook or a document that solves a problem. But it also, you know, thinking of our audience and speaking to face-to-face coaches, you can take that same principle, and your lead magnet can be a conversation. Your lead magnet can be a meeting in person at your studio. Yeah. What the principle is still the same. You're dangling a carrot out there to say, hey, if this is you, if you struggle with this thing, I might have something for you. It's totally free. Come and nibble at this carrot and let's talk. And so it doesn't have to be a video, a PDF, a recipe book. It can be, and that can work great. And I think because, you know, so many people, when they talk about lead magnets, are hearing it from the online coaching world, where that's the only option that they have because they don't make face-to-face connections. Sometimes they struggle to see that actually a lead magnet can be an opportunity for you guys to meet and grab a coffee or do some training together or turn up to a deadlift workshop or a nutritional seminar. It's all the same thing. It's how do we make that initial connection? How do we resonate with what they're feeling and thinking right now so that we can spark a conversation and take them through that 6-stage ladder that you spoke of there?
Yeah, really powerful.
How about you, mate? What have you been working on? Probably not a lot, knowing you, but there must be something.
I've just been kicking back, watching YouTube while you've been doing all the work. That's my strategy for building this business.
Sounds about right.
I've been with a few different coaches. I've been talking about hiring, and I think there are two types of hire that personal trainers, now not all personal trainers will make, but some might want to make. And I've been chatting to them about when should they do it and how should they do it, you know, if this is you. And I think typically these people are pretty close to fully booked. And so what they're realizing at that stage of being fully booked is they're as busy as they've ever been. So they're seeing 25, 30, 40 sessions a week. And with all the administrative, like client support stuff that has to happen, what often we see is that plates stop spinning and they get smashed on the floor. Balls get dropped. And what that means is, like, the problem is that people haven't systemized their work clearly and simply enough so that when the workload goes high, stuff falls down. And people go, I know, I'll fix this by hiring someone to fix that problem for me. And this brings about the how, in, at least in our experience, right, that how hiring should be done. And it should be done when you yourself have been performing a particular job or task within your business. It's been documented, it's been recorded, and you've had some good exposure and experience to the task in question. And then you can hand it over, like, and say to someone else, here's the job I need done, here's how it should be done, here's what perfect looks like, because I can show you examples, and here's what to do, here's how to troubleshoot, and here's the support that I'm going to provide you to do it. And that's what's called delegation, as opposed to abdication, which is, I'm not doing this thing, and I've tried doing it, but I just keep failing at it because I'm not attributing enough time and effort to it. You solve the problem. And we've done it. We've definitely been there in elements, like we've made that mistake. And so we don't want you guys to make it. And we've also, like, it's a mistake that isn't just like, oh, damn, I did something wrong. It's like, it's a costly one in money and time. So yeah, those are the problems and the issues that I've been exploring with a few coaches over the last week.
Am I right in thinking that if you were, let's just say that you were to abdicate, you were to just give something to someone, say, this isn't working, I need it fixed. The only way that would work is if you were going to be prepared to pay a significant amount of money to somebody that was already very, very skilled at that task. And you were basically going to ask them to lend you their systems, their knowledge, their experience for that to work. Whereas to delegate, it's more about saying, I've got this thing, it works, I've figured it all out, I just don't want to do it myself, I want to train you to be able to do it.
Exactly. And that in context of a virtual assistant to help you with admin stuff is exactly the way to think about it. It's also a really important point when it comes to hiring coaches. So say you've got your studio, your gym to a point where you're doing as much as you can, and you actually want to hire other trainers to do some work for you so that you can step back and away from the business. Like, if you abdicate even then, so you could go and hire an amazing trainer, but if they aren't totally aligned with your values and your beliefs and the style of training and the way they talk and the way they treat people and the way that they speak to your leads, prospects and clients, you're going to end up developing friction, and that friction will slow your business growth down. It might even move it backwards. So even with coaches, you need to get to a point where what I do is documented. It has a foundation and understanding of values. This is why we do what we do. This is who we are. And that, those are the cornerstones. Those are like the guiding plaques of, like, this is how we behave. And so if you have that, which inherently is a culture, then you can say, cool, yeah, I'm going to hire. And that will really unlock for face-to-face coaches a lot of growth, but also a lot of time that you can take back. And so that principle of abdication versus delegation, I think, works across both types of hire that we would encourage certain trainers to make.
Yeah. It's also why we have the trainings that we have inside our website. So once our coaches get typically to around about 5K per month, the higher end of our main program, we have specific trainings on how to actually hire a VA and how to build a team of personal trainers. And it's all based on, like, making sure that you've got the right systems in place first. Like, it's got to be working for you. You've got to understand it, and it has to have its own flavor. And then you need to be able to build it in such a way that somebody can read it, learn it, and then implement it without you needing to be there effectively.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's a really powerful one. And that question arrives at a stage where we see a lot of trainers get stuck, and we often refer to it as the hamster in the wheel, where you're a victim of your own success. You've got yourself 20, 30, 40 clients, you're making three, five, seven grand a month, and you're like, I've only just got about enough energy and bandwidth to keep this up, let alone consider anything different. And so then what a lot of coaches do is they go, I know, I'll just hire and have people do all the stuff for me. And it creates more problems than it solves. So you end up further stuck, you end up that hamster more wedged in the wheel, running faster than ever, but the wheel isn't actually going anywhere. And so it's a topic that I'm passionate about, because I was stuck there for ages, for several years. I wouldn't know exactly how to pin a time frame on it, but I was there for years, like not really going anywhere, but working fucking hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we can help people with that particular chapter of their journey, then I think it's a job well done.
Within that, though, that sort of brings it on to a really interesting point. So many of the things that we teach our coaches are just based on the fuck ups that we made. And one of the reasons that Velocity has grown to the size it has in the time that it has is because we've already made those mistakes and learned those lessons. And what I'm forever grateful to you for, mate, is
when all the fucking mistakes that I made.
Thank you so much for fucking up so often that I don't. No. I remember a time when we needed to build our team, let me correct that. I remember a time when you felt we needed to grow our team. And I was thinking, we're fine. Like, it's okay. But you said to me, listen, I've seen this happen before. And if we don't act on it now, we're going to end up getting stuck. And so when you consider the timeline, if we think about what we're talking about here with being able to delegate properly, you've got to create the system. You've then got to bring someone into your world and find the right person. You've then got to train them up. You've then got to slowly hand the reins across to them before you feel confident enough to not need to be there and just to let it run. And that takes time. So if you wait until you need it, you're going to be working your tits off really for the next 3 to 6 months whilst you're waiting to hand over. And the risk there is that you end up abdicating because you haven't got the time to build the system correctly. So I do remember you doing that with our first success coach and thinking you were a little bit ahead of time, a bit keen, but it totally makes sense looking back, because that process took maybe 3 or 4 months before we were ready to do that. And by the time that they were ready, it was needed.
Yeah, it's a really powerful point, and it's a lesson that I've learned definitely the hard way. And we're actually executing on that again, because as Velocity grows and more coaches come and join the team, we need to make sure that our support doesn't just stay where it is, but it gets better. And a bunch of hamsters in wheels isn't any good. We want people that are well in control of their time and their headspace. And that means we as a company can do the best we can for our clients.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, once again, thanks for fucking up so much. It makes my life a hell of a lot easier. Really appreciating you.
Yeah, 100%. All right, cool. Listen, I think that's probably us for today, mate. What are you up to the next few days before we're back on here recording and chatting again?
Little game of squash tonight, which I'm looking forward to. Meeting you tomorrow for another game of squash, and then we've got a big day working on the business.
Yeah,
we've got.
I'll be sitting back, feet up. You can work, and I'll just chat.
You just order lunch. Yeah, Friday we're meeting with some of the guys in our higher level program, and then this weekend is going to be more red wine, more fires.
Yes, that is how it's going to be now.
How about you, mate?
Yeah, obviously similar plan for the rest of the week. Reading with you tomorrow, getting out and on the business, and then on the weekend, it's my father-in-law and his partner's birthday, so we're having a nice family meal on the Sunday. But otherwise, pretty chill.
Nice. Sounds good. All right, team. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you again very soon. Remember, if you want to sponsor us, we are open to offers. Take care.
See you soon.